You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Time now for Food Friday. Today, vegetarians are everywhere, and food writers like Michael Pollan are encouraging even the meat eaters to cut back a little and explore more plant-based foods. It wasn't always this way. When the modern vegetarian diet started in the 1960s, it was way more limited. Today, though, most home chefs like to have at least one vegetarian recipe in their back pocket.
Food writer Joanne Dembski is with us to talk about this transformation and attitude towards vegetarians and about the staples of the vegetarian diet. She's a freelance writer and a former staff member for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and for the most part, she's a vegetarian. Joanne, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on your show.
Joanne, you've been a pescatarian. I guess that's someone who eats some fish, but it's the rest of your diet is vegetarian for 40 years. Why did you
Correct.
Decide to remove most meat from your diet?
I initially did it to lose some weight, and then after a few months I did lose some weight, but I also felt so much better that I just decided to stay meatless, and I've never turned back.
And we mentioned you eat some fish. There are a lot of different kinds of vegetarianism and shades of vegetarianism out there. What are some of the different ways people approach that?
Well, it's pretty much some people just avoid red meats, and often that's because they want to lower their cholesterol. Then you have people like myself who I just eat the seafood. You also have complete vegetarians, and those would be people who don't eat any of the meat products. And then, of course, you have vegans who don't eat anything that comes from animals.
How would you say that attitudes are different today than when vegetarian first popped up in the 60s?
Oh, I think the attitudes are very different. I think today it's fairly mainstream. Many of my friends and a lot of my family members are now going meatless, and I'm also hearing that a lot of teens are going meatless. They're just deciding to do it for health reasons and maybe because they don't want to hurt animals.
And how have the options for vegetarians changed since, it got big in the 60s?
There's so many more things that are available for people to eat. There's all the different vegetables, there's a lot more vegetables and fruits that weren't available years ago. You've got all the different dairy products and grains, a wide variety of cheeses that weren't available years ago. There's even meat substitute products like veggie burgers, things like that. Some people, if they do miss eating meat, they go towards those products and try them.
What do you think about getting your protein from a meat substitute? Do you think that's, adequately carrying the torch for vegetarianism?
Well, I think you certainly can get your protein from those products. I personally don't think they are often very taste very good. I prefer to use dairy products, beans, grains, things like quinoa, nuts, and seeds.
Before we get into some recipes and entree ideas, it just sounds like eating vegetarian is a lot more fun and flavorful than it was at the outset.
Oh, it is. When I first started eating meat, going meatless years ago, there weren't a lot of options out there. You just kind of had to try to make dishes yourself or take recipes and just remove the meats. Now there's so many different products that are available, and it's not just the blocks of tofu marinated in tempeh or something like that. There's just a lot of different products out there. And there's a lot of, if you go to Asian stores, there's so many different options and seasonings that can really make these dishes taste better.
Well, let's dig into some of the recipes that you shared with us. The first one is beans and barley lemon apricot quinoa. So a lot going on there already that sounds exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got as your base the quinoa, which is a grain with a lot of protein.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that one?
Quinoa is really a great food for vegetarians, and I really feel it's very important. In fact, I just recently read that it was first cultivated over 5,000 years ago, and that the Incas used to call it the mother of all grains. And it's also one of the few plant foods that's considered a complete protein. It's also gluten-free, contains iron, B vitamins, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, vitamin E, and fiber. So it's good in so many ways for people. And it tastes great, too.
And talking...
And, I'm sorry, and the recipe, the apricot quinoa recipe, it also has so many other delicious things in there. It just really complements the quinoa, the dried apricots, the red bell pepper, the currants, the pine nuts.
Well, speaking of quinoa, Joanne, that's an ingredient that people are finding more and more available in stores. And reading your piece on this, it used to be something like even a red pepper was exotic, and you could only find it in different parts of the country. And people were careful to write their recipe books to not include that kind of ingredient in some cases.
Right. When I did the interviews, that's what I was hearing. You know, I don't honestly remember 40 years ago if I was finding those things or not. I just ate whatever vegetables I could find. But these food writers were saying that they had a terrible time with trying to be creative and to find good recipes. But fortunately, that's all changed now. There's so many different options.
So you've got the quinoa and the apricots in this. How does it come together? And how long does something like this take to cook? Because that's a point that comes up a lot when you're trying to talk about vegetarianism. People say, I could never do it because of all the chopping and the waiting. How long does this take?
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't actually test that particular recipe, although I certainly wanted to. But I'm guessing, just by looking at it, it doesn't take long at all to put it together because, you know, it takes a few minutes to chop up a bell pepper and pine nuts and currants. Those are all ready to roll. So I think it's more or less just combining the ingredients and having them prepped and put them together. And it also had a dressing on it that could easily be made in advance, which would be a time saver.
You also talk about the rise in availability of eggplant and people figuring out more and more what to do with it. How has eggplant jazzed up the veggie options for us?
Well, there's all these different kinds of eggplant available, for one. You've got the Japanese eggplants, the baby eggplants, and those are really have slightly different tastes, and they're very interesting looking. So I think a lot of people are using those just like they're using portobellos as kind of the main ingredient in their recipes to kind of make them special and kind of give you a meat substitute of a sort.
Well, you've got another recipe that you share, this one for penne, some pasta with eggplant and mozzarella. Mm-hmm. What was your experience with this one?
I did make that one, actually. That was very tasty. I liked it because it had the two different cheeses in it. And the combination just really went well together. And I was also able to, my husband is not a vegetarian, so I was able to give him some by just putting some roasted chicken on it, and he said he thought it was great.
So it's got the mozzarella. What's your other cheese in there?
Mozzarella and, let me see, I think it was a Gruyere.
Oh, that'd be
Swiss
really good.
Cheese. Yeah.
I'll go with Gruyere cheese.
Yeah. It was good. That's one of my favorites, and I've never met a cheese I didn't like, so anything with a lot of cheese on is always going to be a plus for me.
So a lot of people will continue eating meat, not want to go full vegetarian, but make the case why even the meat eaters should pay attention to vegetarian recipes, throw them into the mix sometime.
Well, it's just such a healthy way to eat. And by eating more plant-based foods, you're going to have more energy. Your cholesterol is likely to lower. And you're also going to find out there's a lot of great meatless dishes out there. A lot of people, I think, especially people who are really fixed on eating, especially red meats, they just feel that they're not going to be satisfied if they don't have that hunk of meat on their plate. But in reality, eating things like the eggplant and the portobellos and maybe even the meat substitutes, you can get a great meal out of it and be so much healthier. So you can still have that steak when you want to, maybe just not as often.
All right. We'll leave it there for now. Joanne, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was Joanne Dembski. She's a freelance writer, former staff member from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.